All right. So if you're following along in where we are, then you will know where we are. But if you're new, we have been marveling in our salvation now for a year. I've started this a year ago. We've been talking about the goodness of God. We've been talking about how our salvation is not just a one-trick pony. It doesn't just come with a ticket to heaven. And if it did, that would be enough, but that's not what it is. It's so much deeper than that. John 10:10 is true, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life and give it to the full. And that to the full doesn't mean you're going to drive Cadillacs and have the biggest pocketbook or whatever. That life to the full means emotional support. It means spiritual support. It means God who will be there for you always. There's so many good stuff that comes with our salvation, and we've been talking about that for a long time. And then we've been stuck now in love. We've been talking. We went through the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then we went backwards to love because love is big, and that's where we've been for a long time. Let's read the definition here of love found in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So if you're keeping track, if you're following along, then where should we be this morning? Anybody know? We're supposed to be on endures all things, but I'm pulling a quick one on you this morning, and we're going to cheat a little bit. Let's put up that list for me, will you please? Okay, so this is the list, right? This is what love really is. Like, if you say to somebody, I love you, then this is what this means. It means you're going to be patient. It means you're going to be kind. It means you're not going to rejoice in wrongdoing. It means you're not going to keep record of wrongs. It's going to be you bear all things, believe all things, that you don't demand your own way. And that's a fantastic list. And it takes more than one romantic weekend, one more romantic movie or whatever to get you through a life of this. Because it's not just your spouse that gets this treatment. It's everybody in your life, including the people we share the road with. Well, I was in a little bit of Sunday school this morning, and they were fussing about how hard it is to love those on the road, right? Because people are frustrating. Amen, aren't they? Amen. But everybody deserves this list. Now, what I've done this week is I'm cheating a little bit. Because in the Bible, you'll find a lot of places where God says, my unfailing love and full of compassion. He says that a lot. And so that's actually what we're going to talk about this morning is compassion. Because it is found so much in the Word together. Like, unfailing is often found with His love. But unfailing, I feel like, is represented here in these other words and these other definitions of what love is. But compassion feels like it's missing out of this list. Now, by no means am I suggesting that, right, like I'm adding things to the Bible. Not at all. I can see scriptures where God says His love comes with compassion. And so I just feel like it was a good place to put this right here before we end up next week, Lord willing, we end up next week in endures all things. And then after that, love is over and you can go back to hating all the people in your life. All right. So it's not official. Love is compassionate is not in the official definition, but it is represented well in the Word of God, particularly in conversation with the Lord. Now, I'm going to read you a scripture here because we're going to answer the same questions we have the whole time. What is it? How is God like this? How to love our neighbor this way, our family this way, and our God this way? All right. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan man soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, bandaged him, And then put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Okay, what is compassion? Compassion is seeing a problem, caring about the problem, and having a desire to help with the problem. So compassion is sort of 3 chunks. It's not just like heart bleediness. It is, and just as a disclaimer, this is not my strong suit. I am not Mr. Compassionate. I'm just not. There are certain things that I'm can be compassionate about. But as we go through this, and you're like, I know you, and this doesn't sound like you. Okay, then that's true. I'm just like, I'm good at some stuff. But I'm not Mr. Compassionate. Okay, anyway. You can see a problem and not care. You can see a problem, care, and not have a desire to help. Okay? All 3 are required. Now, when it comes to seeing a problem, I have to imagine that our culture, this American culture in 2025, has to be in the top 10 of most selfish cultures to ever exist across the history of time. Now, I don't know that. I haven't studied all the cultures across the history of time, and we don't know about people that, you know, from before the flood. We don't know much about it. We don't really know, but most of them through time had to sort of live together. Like, one guy had to go and kill stuff, another guy had to help him kill stuff and drag it home. You know, it was more of a community type living than certainly we do now. I feel like America today has got to be just one of the most selfish places to ever live ever. And that's what we're up against, is our own selfishness. We think about ourselves a lot, okay? So in order to see a problem, we have to be willing to look outside of our own self. And so I'm not sure, like, a lot of us will fail right here. We don't even see problems because we're too focused on ourselves. I mean, I hate to say that to you, but that's the way it is. Particularly with emotional issues. Like, you've got a friend who's going through a thing, and he talks about it a little bit, but not much. And so you have to be really paying attention. You have to be really wanting to see in order to actually see his problem. Because you could see, like if it was a car accident that happens right in front of you, it's pretty hard not to see that. But emotional issues, things that people need real compassion for, those are hidden a little bit deeper. And as such, you have to dig for them a little bit more. But because we're so selfish, we don't dig. We don't ask questions. We don't pursue it. We just kind of lay back and watch it happen. And so we have to see the problem. And that's hard enough as it is. Then when you see the problem, you have to actually care about the problem. Like this Samaritan, you know, because the priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road. The priest saw the problem. He didn't care. He just walked on. The temple assistant saw the problem and just walked on. He didn't care. So you can see a problem and not care. That's pretty easy. Right, particularly, and this is where I really fail personally. I can see problems. I mean, the Lord has given me some discernment to see it, but I really personally struggle when you've done this to yourself, right? Like, you made a bunch of bad decisions, and now you're in a bad position because of that. Like, I have a real hard time, like, caring that you're in this problem. Now, some of you aren't that way. Some of you are very good at this. You see it, and even though it was their fault, they created this problem themselves, you still care about them the way God does. And that's wonderful for you. I'm glad. But I just am not built that way. I tend to lean towards, well, they deserved it, right? And that's how a lot of us are. Like, I'm not the only one in this room like that. A lot of you, well, they got what they deserve, right? The problem is, I deserve it. I deserve it. You deserve it. Whatever problem they're going through, you deserved it too. It's not like you're perfect and you're like above them in some way or another and you're better than they are. No. You're just like them. We're all of us in this room are sinners. All of us in this room are struggling. All of us in this room are failures in one way or another. We all deserve it, whatever it is. And so we have to see the problem and then wish that that wasn't happening to them. But because of our selfishness, a lot of times we don't care. Okay, then you have to have a desire to help. Just like the Samaritan man. He felt compassion for him and he went over to him and tried to heal him up, right? I want to read a scripture to you here. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 36. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Now, most other biblical translations don't translate that compassionate. They translate it as merciful. You must be merciful for I am merciful. That's how it works. But the word has both connotations in it, mercy and compassion. That's why I think that the call to help here is a part of compassion, because mercy is the call to help. I think that compassion is also a call to help. So you have to see a problem, care about the problem, and then have a desire to help. And it may not be your turn to help. That's okay too. Like if you're a single lady and you see somebody broken down on the side of the road and you don't know how to change a tire yourself, it's probably best if you don't stop. That's not your turn. That's somebody, but there's somebody 10 seconds behind you that maybe it's their turn. So we can't always help. And we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But have a desire to help. Oh, man, I wish that wasn't happening. I wish that I could do something to help. I think all three are required to feel biblical compassion. You have to see a problem, which means you got to get over your selfishness. You have to care about a problem, which means you have to get over your selfishness. And you have to be willing to help. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. It's hard to care about people like that. Okay, now, how is God like this? Well, he's going to say it about himself. Psalms 86, 15. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. There's that unfailing love and faithfulness that I was talking about earlier. It's paired with compassion many times throughout the Word of God. So this is God saying about himself. Let's look at another one. Now, you may remember when Moses was on the mountain and he asked the Lord, can I see you? I want to see you with my own eyes. I want to physically see you. And so Moses was like, or God was like, okay, but I'm going to cover you with my hand and then I'm going to walk past you and you can see my backside. Now, when God does that, when he walks past Moses, he says this thing. This is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. That's what he said about himself. He calls out his own name, the Lord, who he is, and then he gives himself some characteristics. God of compassion and mercy. So that is his second characteristic right there. God of compassion and mercy. That's one of the first things he says about himself. I am compassionate and merciful. And honestly, if he wasn't, he would squish us all. I mean, he just would. Slow to anger and filled with, here it is again, unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. I do not excuse the guilty, but I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and the grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation. He is a God of compassion and mercy. All right, one more scripture here. Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers his compassion on all his creation. There it is again, unfailing love, filled with unfailing love. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. Now, here's what I want you to see about this. Here's what I want you to hear about this. This is what I want you to recognize about God's compassion. He sees you. He cares about you. He wants to help you. Even if the problem is your problem, even if you created it, he sees you. And we walk through life so much thinking that God is like out there somewhere and he's paying attention to my bad stuff, but he's not looking at my good stuff or whatever. God sees you. He sees the drama that you're going through. He sees the heartbreak. Some of you guys in this room have lived through some terrible, horrible trauma. Some things I could never understand or describe even. I could never live like that. I can't even comprehend it. Some of you guys have lived through some stuff. And the Lord sees you. And he cares about you. You're not just floating around on this island all by yourself. He didn't just like stick you on planet Earth and say, okay, here you go, figure it out. No, he sees you in all that you are. You're good, you're bad, your trauma, your triumphs. He sees it all. He sees you. And that's such good news, because now we know that the God that created the universe, the God who sees the whole story, sees my story. And I don't have to, like, you know, a lot of times when I'm praying, I start to describe a situation to the Lord. And then I realize I don't have to describe this situation to the Lord. He already knows what's going on. Or if I'm trying to describe how I feel about something, and then I realize that's silly. The Lord knows how I feel about this. The Lord sees you. You're seen. You're known in all that you are. And he loves you. He has compassion on you. Always. Sees us. We don't deserve that, but we get it anyway. Isn't it nice to know that, like, whatever mountain, you know, Pastor Randy talked about that a little bit this morning, whatever you're facing, whatever it is that you're challenged with, isn't it nice to know that the Lord is already on the other side of that and sees what you're going through? Isn't it nice to know that? And he sees where you're at now and where you're going. That's exceptional. Okay. What would it be like to love your neighbor this way? 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother and sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Now, here's, you want to love your neighbor this way? Give up who you are. Just the way Jesus gave up, you know, who he was. He gave up his life for others. We're meant to give our lives for others too. Now, I can hear it. I can hear the thoughts. I don't have any money. Okay. Let's say you don't. You do. You got some. But let's say you don't have any money. God has gifted you with other things. You can't walk around saying, well, I mean, I don't have any money, so I have no responsibilities with this scripture. No. That's not true. You have responsibilities. Did the Lord gift you with joy? Then give away your joy. Did the Lord gift you with compassion? Then give away your compassion. Did the Lord gift you with peace? Then give away your peace. So even if you don't have deep pockets, which I don't even think that that's what this is talking about. I don't think it means you got to have deep pockets and you got to buy, you know, church buildings or whatever. I don't think that that's what that means. I think this means, you know, help. If you can help, help. But really, like, if the Lord has gifted you with something, then give it away. If you're one of these people who's gifted with joy, then let your joy ooze out of you to people who need it. Because our world, our America today, is severely lacking in joy. If you're somebody who's good at peace, then let that peace out of you. Because our world today is severely lacking peace. Whatever you're good at, and the Lord has gifted you with something, don't tell me, oh, well, I don't have any of these things. Don't tell me that, because if you're a Christian, then you have some of this stuff. period. It's in the Word. That's the way it works. So you've got something to give away. And how can we say that we love people if we're unwilling to give away the gifts that God has given us? Man, that's hard. But it's good and it's worth it and it's love. Now, I'm not very good at joy. I'm not very good at peace. I don't have any deep pockets. Okay, then you have one thing. And you can't fight me on this at all. You've got prayer. It doesn't make any difference how much money you've got, how much joy you've got, how much peace you've got, how much discernment you've got, how much patience or faithfulness or whatever. You feel like you can't give any of that way, that you're still an immature Christian or whatever, like whatever that is. You've got prayer. And you have it available to you as often as you have your phone available to you. So now I'm gonna explain that to you. How often do we, at a stoplight or at a whatever, you know, anytime we've got 40 seconds of free time, how often do we pick this up and check a text message or check an email or check a whatever you check or your Facebook or whatever it is you're into, whatever your drama is, whatever your addiction is with your phone, whatever your thing is. Like, if you've got time to pick this up, then you've got time to pray. And I really think that that's required of us. I really do. And if you're like, well, but I don't even spend that much time wasted on my phone. I mostly text people when they need it or, you know, whatever. But I bet you if we look at your screen time, I bet you we can find some wasted time on there. And if nothing else, you go to the bathroom with your phone like everybody else in this room does. And you can sit on the toilet and you can pray for people. You can do that. We're just being honest here, right? That's what it is. But we have tons of mini breaks in our lives where we could spend time giving away what God has given us, and that is our prayer time. Lord, I lift up so-and-so. You could even spend time asking the Lord to help you see. Lord, help me to see people who are struggling with such and such. Help me to see and help me to care, Lord. Help me to do, and even spend some time praying for yourself. But then, don't spend all the time on yourself, because lift up other people, the people who are going through the stuff that you have compassion for. I think that's what God is asking us to do. What would it be like to love our family this way? Psalms 103:13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. If I'm going to struggle with compassion for anybody, man, I hate to say this. Like, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's going to be the people who live in my house. It just is. I hate that. It just is. It's embarrassing to even say that. But if I'm going to struggle with compassion, because I know, I see how they live, right? And I know that, like, well, I mean, you did this to yourself, right? And so I really struggle with compassion when I can see character flaws in their lives. I can see holes in where they, you know, where they could be better. And as such, wouldn't need my compassion if they would just get their stuff together, right? I'm just being honest with you. This is embarrassing to say it. It really genuinely is. But that's who I am. That's who I am. Now, some of you guys would struggle with that. Some of you wouldn't. But the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Tender and compassionate. So how many people in our life, how many people in our homes, how often do people in our homes need our tender compassion? And we're unwilling to give it because they deserved it, because back in my day, we didn't have it so nice. How often do you say that to your kids? Back in my day, you didn't have it. You should stop complaining about this, because back in my day, we didn't have X and O situation, right? That's not compassion. It's not tender. And back in our day was different. I'll give you that. Depends on how far back your day goes. Like, if you're Gene, then, you know, it's way on back. Uh, the people in our homes deserve our compassion too. And if anybody needs to be seen, if anybody needs to be seen, it's the people that live in your home. If there's anybody that needs to be cared about, it's the people that live in your home. If there's anybody that in your life that needs your help, it's the people that live in your home. They are your support system. They're there helping you. You're meant to be helping them. That's why God put these people in your home. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. All right. Now, what would it be like to love God this way? Now, let me say this. God does not need your compassion, because there's nothing you can do to fix his problems. Nothing. Okay? Let's read this. This is Psalm 50. I don't know what I gave you, Fred. I'm going to start in verse 10. For all animals of the forest are mine. And I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. God's got no problems that you can fix. You are but a human. He is a God, and he is way above you. So he is not needing of your compassion. What we need is, and now we're going to just flip it right on back to love your neighbor. Have compassion. If you want to love God, then you need to, or you want to be compassionate on God, then be compassionate on his people. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 37 and 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He's talking about Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like a shepherd. They were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." Do you want to have compassion? Then have compassion on the lost. The lost don't have John 10:10. They don't have life and have it to the full. They don't. They have the steal, kill, and destroy. That's what their life is all about. It's all about steal, kill, and destroy and trying to survive. They don't have the life and have it to the full. They don't have this connection to a holy God who sees them and knows their problem and see the other side of the mountain. They don't have access to that. If you want to have compassion on God, have compassion on his people. There are literally millions, billions of people on this earth that don't know Jesus. They are the ones that need our compassion. Because someday we're all going to be swept up into death and the end of the world, however that works. And you're going to stand before God and all of these people, and you knew and they didn't. And that's going to be a tough thing to take. If you want to have compassion on God, have compassion on his people. Pray. Spend some of that time that we talked about praying. Spend some of that time praying for salvation for people, praying for the lost, praying for, that our country would see a revival, that the whole world would see a revival. Spend time praying for people that you will never meet, people in India who have no access to the gospel, people in China who have no access to the gospel. Pray for them. Pray for missionaries we know, like Abby being sent off to Nicaragua. Pray for those, so that at least then you can have some peace in their ministry, some tiny shred of what they accomplish. You can get Jesus points for, or whatever, for just for praying for them. If you want to have compassion on God, then have compassion on his people, because that's what God is all about, is his people. Okay. John was complaining this morning during Sunday school about how he's ready for this love stuff to be over because it's been difficult. So, Lord willing, John, we got one week left, okay, brother? This is hard stuff, isn't it? This is hard stuff. And how we are required to love is difficult. But by the Lord's grace, we can get better. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we worship you. We praise you. God, I pray that you would fill us with compassion, which is even frightening for me to say because I don't even know what my life would look like if I was filled with compassion. But God, I pray that you would fill us, each one of us, God, with your compassion for your people, a compassion for those around us who we love, who love us. God, give us compassion for people in our lives, Lord. Let us, help us to care about others. Help us to see problems. Help us to care about problems and help us want to help others. God, you alone are glorious. You're the hero in this story. And any compassion that we give out would be yours anyway. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us more. Give us more compassion. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for Elston Family Church and what it means to the people in this room. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You guys go and be blessed. Have a terrific week. We'll see you next week.